The following sermon, entitled From Tent to House, was preached on the morning of March 7th, 2021, at Hope Protestant Reformed Church of Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Please turn with me now to the Word of God in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Sermon text this morning is 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 3, especially verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. I should tell you before we begin with this passage that I'm going to change, if you're following the sermon theme and the 3 points on the bulletin, I'm changing it slightly. First point is going to be our first dwelling. The second point, our final relocation. And the third point, our present attitude. Those three things. Word of God, beloved, assures us that death is swallowed up in victory by speaking of death in different ways. Sometimes, for example, speaks of death as, for the believer, as nothing more than sleep. We go to sleep in Jesus, and after a while we wake up again. And that's all death is for those who believe in Him who is the resurrection and the life. Here in our passage, the Word of God has a little bit different way of assuring us, reassuring us in the face of death, that death is swallowed up in victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here, it describes death for the believer as moving from one house to another, moving from a tent to a mansion, and in that way seeks, the Word of God seeks to take away all death's terrors, all our fears of death, and to assure us that in Christ, death is indeed nothing more for the believer than an entrance into life. I think the Word of God here applies especially to the death of those who have lived a full 60, 70, 80 years, maybe even more. But it certainly applies to the death of an infant or a young child. We'll see why it applies especially to the death of an elderly person as we go on with the passage. But it's certainly true for an infant or for a young child, too, that when his or her earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, then that little child, that infant, too, has a house, a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. They too move from tent to mansion by the grace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. So the subject this morning is simply from tent to house. And we're going to look at the three things that I talked about a moment ago. That first house is described in the passage as our earthly house of this tabernacle. That's a reference to our bodies, our present earthly bodies. God has created them so that we're able to live here on earth and go about whatever business God has given us. Paul is talking about that in 1 Corinthians 15 when he describes these bodies as being of the earth, earthy. But the Word of God here describes those earthly bodies as tents. We live here on earth in a tent. And that's appropriate. Appropriate, of course, because as long as we're here, we're pilgrims. We have no abiding city, no home in this world. We are just, as some have said, passing through, pilgrims and strangers in this world. And so the description of our body as a tent is particularly appropriate to our life in this world. Now, you mustn't misunderstand that. There are those who have used a passage like this wrongly, as though our body is something to be despised, something that we leave behind, even when death comes and we go to be with Jesus. That's not at all the intent of this passage. Christ, when he shed his blood for us, bought with the price of his blood our bodies as well as our souls. They belong to him. And that's the reason, too, why when we die and our bodies return to the dust, that's the reason why Christ keeps track, if I may put it that way, of every speck of dust. And when he comes again, gathers that dust again, and raises it and glorifies it, and gives us life everlasting with himself. But the emphasis in the Word of God here in describing our bodies as a tent is to remind us of the fact that these bodies, like a tent, these present earthly bodies, are weak, impermanent, that like a tent, they wear out. That's what that word dissolved means. And even those of you who have never stayed in a tent can understand that if you live for a while in a tent, there comes a time where it doesn't keep the rain out anymore. The fabric begins to tear. And eventually, It has to be thrown away because it's of no use anymore. Maybe the zipper through which you get into the tent doesn't work anymore, so you have to pin it together. Try to patch the holes, but there comes a time where the fabric is so decayed that the patches don't even work anymore. That's what the Word of God is telling us here about our bodies. And we experience that, especially as we get older. Our bodies begin to break down. And the doctors do everything they can to help us. Beverly had hip replacement, I believe, this past week. But it's not the same. Not the same as what God gave us. Ecclesiastes 12 describes that dissolving of what our text calls our earthly house of this tent, this tabernacle. And though I don't want to read that whole passage this morning, you'd do well for yourself if when you get home today you read that very moving description of what happens to us as we get older and we experience the falling apart of these earthly bodies, of that earthly house, of this tabernacle. Ecclesiastes 12 begins, if I read a few verses from that chapter, begins by talking about the keepers of the house trembling. Your hands begin to shake. Talks about those, the strong men bowing themselves. Many of us, as we grow older, find it difficult to stand upright anymore. The grinders cease. You lose your teeth and you have to have those replaced. Those that look out of the windows be darkened. You can't see well anymore. And so it goes on, describing in very graphic terms what the Word of God is talking about here in 2 Corinthians 5, the dissolving of our earthly house, of this tabernacle. And of course, that's what has happened this past week with Audrey and with Mrs. Van Baron, Sylvia. The earthly house of this tabernacle has finally fallen to pieces. But the Word of God tells us here that when that happens, and it happens for all of us, when that happens, then Christ comes. And He moves us. Moves us to a house, a building that's far better and much more beautiful too than that earthly house of this tabernacle. He talks about that in John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And the reference here in 2 Corinthians 5 is to our resurrection body. That's the house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Christ, if you will, moves us into a new dwelling, far better, far more glorious than what we have now. Far more beautiful and wonderful than that earthly house of this tabernacle. It's wonderful, isn't it? But that's the way in which the Word of God assures us here that the work of Christ has destroyed entirely all the power and terror of death for God's people. So much so, we'll come to that in a minute, that we groan for that day when we move from tent to house. That house, when the Word of God tells us here that it's not made with hands, then it's telling us, it's not saying, of course, that these earthly bodies were not made and given us by God, but it's assuring us that that earthly or that heavenly house to which we move when we die is a work of God Himself and of His grace. Maybe you could think of it this way, that when we die, God, by a miracle, turns a tent into a palace. And of course, only He could do something like that. It's a house not made with hands. And unlike that earthly house of this tabernacle, that tent in which we now live, it's eternal in the heavens. It's adapted not to this world, but to heaven itself, to living in the presence of God. It's adapted to being with Christ forever. So glorious, Paul says elsewhere, that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for them that love Him. From tent to mansion. That's the emphasis of the Word of God here. But that raises a question. And the question is really this: what happens when someone like Audrey, Sylvia, dies now however many years it is before the resurrection of our bodies, the return of Jesus, that time when he gathers our bodies from the dust and gives us eternal glory with himself. What happens now? There's a real sense, you understand, in which we don't move into that mansion until the end of the world comes. What happens now? Are Audrey and Sylvia and others who have died in the years that have passed, are they without a house? Moved from a tent to nothing? I think you know that that's not true. And yet, the Word of God tells us that our bodies will not be raised. That house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, will not be finished until the end of the world comes. There's a lot we can't say in answer to that question. But I want you to look at the passage and notice that the Word of God does not leave us without hope, does not suggest that in the interval between death and the final resurrection, the child of God is left without a house. Without a dwelling place, as far as the body is concerned. I want you to notice, first of all, in 2 Corinthians 5, that the Word of God suggests, even though it's very difficult to explain what that means, suggests that at the moment of death, the believer does move into his new home. God, in his grace and loving kindness, makes provision, some provision, so that the believer, when he dies, is not left in a kind of limbo, unconscious and unaware and unable to enjoy the glories of heaven, because it's through our bodies that we experience this world and, when the time comes, the new world which God prepares for us. Word of God says, and I hope you notice that and take hold of that in that first verse, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, were dissolved, we have, not shall have, but have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's why I said a moment ago that this passage assures us that God makes some provision for us in what for many of God's people is the long interval between death and the final resurrection. And the verses that follow confirm that, using a different figure, not of a house, but of clothing. The Word of God assures us in verses 2 and 3 that we are not left unclothed, but clothed upon, and not left, as verse 3 has it, not left naked, but clothed. Can't say about that any more than the Word of God says here, because this all belongs to those things which eye hath not seen. But we know from the Scriptures, and that's the emphasis in the Word of God here, that at the moment the believer leaves this life, he opens his eyes in heaven and is able, by God's grace and loving kindness, to enjoy and experience the blessedness of heaven. Otherwise, of course, Jesus would not have said to the repentant and dying thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Don't have to wait, as some have taught, for the final resurrection. Don't experience after death some kind of soul sleep which leaves us unconscious until Jesus comes again. Unconscious of where we are, of Him in whose presence we have joy and peace. That's the emphasis here too, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And that's the reason the Word of God says that we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. You could see in the passage, of course, that that groaning is not hopeless, despairing groaning, but a groaning that arises out of the heart of the child of God as he thinks about the time when he's going to move from tent to mansion, from something so impermanent and so weak to something so much better that it can't even be imagined. Catches a glimpse, after having lived in a tent all his life, of what it will be like to live in a house, a permanent and beautiful dwelling place, which, that's the grace of God too, suits him perfectly and makes it possible for him to see God in Jesus Christ and to enjoy the blessedness of God's presence forever. Catches a glimpse of that through the Word of God, and he groans. Especially, I'm sure you've experienced that in the aging and death of loved ones. Especially as he grows older and that tent just begins to fall apart. Can't see anymore. can't even see well enough to read the Word of God by himself anymore? Can't hear? Can't go to church? Goes to the doctor, and the doctor does what he can. But as I said before, it's not the same. The doctor tries to patch things up, but in the end, it's only a very temporary help. Has to be pushed around in a wheelchair. Can't even dress himself or herself anymore. Has to suffer the indignity of being taken to the bathroom by others, bathed by others. It's all part of the dissolving of that earthly house, of this tabernacle. And it makes us groan, doesn't it? My own parents talk about little else when it's more than mere chit-chat. Talk about little else than being able to leave this tent and move into that house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. But even those of us who are younger and who don't think so much of those things, when we experience death, the death of a loved one, come face to face with death, as many of you have this past week, then we too catch a glimpse of that house not made with hands and groan. And look forward by the Word of God to the day when we too will move from tent to house. Don't we? Don't you? But that's true especially because when you try to describe that house that the believer has in heaven, that resurrection body, and even what God has already prepared for those who love him, when you think about that and try to describe it, there's much that we don't know. It belongs to those things which eye hath not seen. Even though there's so much we would like to know, so much we don't know, and will not know until we make this last move, nevertheless, the Bible assures us that if you try to describe that house and the glories of that house, there is one thing that stands out about that house not made with hands. And that's the fact that it's all about Christ. It is, you know. He bought it. He's the one, John 14. when the time comes, moves us into that house. But there's this especially about that house. That's what Paul is talking about in Philippians. There's this especially about that house, that the blueprint, if I may put it that way, for that house is Christ's own resurrection body. Paul says that in Philippians when he, speaking of the coming of Christ, he says that he will change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And the point of it all is that that house is all about Christ, because moving into that house makes it possible for us to live in his presence, to enjoy the blessedness of being with him forever, to see his face, and in his face, the glory and face of God himself, and so to be blessed. Death holds its terrors, no doubt about it, especially because it reminds us of our sins. Death came into the world because of sin. Holds its terrors because it's unknown. Holds its terrors because it separates us until the great day of resurrection and judgment comes from those we love. But that does not change the fact, the blessed fact, that for those who believe in Jesus Christ, death's terrors are not real. Death is swallowed up in victory through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. One great Reformed writer spoke of the death of death in the death of Christ. And so it is. It is. And I want you to remember that this week. It is for God's people. Nothing more than moving from tent to a house. Permanent, beautiful, wonderful dwelling place in heaven. You believe that? Do you? Remember the words of Jesus? They really echo what we have here in 2 Corinthians 5. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he adds to Martha, to you and to me, believest thou this? And we say, don't we? Yes, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. But I believe so surely that thou, my Lord and Savior, hast destroyed the power of death and taken away the sting of death. I believe that so surely that when I think of the death of those who were part of my life for so many years, I grow and look forward to the day when I too will leave behind my earthly house of this tabernacle and move by grace and forever through the resurrection of my body and through the provision that God makes for me until that day comes into the presence of my Lord and Savior. I believe, and so do you, don't you? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that living in this world, subject to all the trials and troubles of our life in this world, the life that is little more than a breath here for a few days and then gone again, that we are not without hope. And we thank Thee that our hope is in Jesus Christ, our Savior, and in His perfect saving work. And we do look forward, Father, beyond all our doubts and fears, to that day when we too will be with Jesus, when He will come, and when the earthly house of this tabernacle will be dissolved, and by Thy grace transformed into an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And looking forward to that day, we pray with all our hearts, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly as Thou hast promised. Come for me and take me home. We ask these things, Father, realizing how weak and sinful we are, even in speaking of such high and holy matters. But we trust that those sins too are covered by the blood of our Savior. Hear us for His sake, and bless us today and each day until He comes again. In His name we pray. Amen.